Galatians, that's in the New Testament, right there after 2 Corinthians. And this is considered a little epistle. The word epistle simply means letter. And I want to give you just a little bit of background. Today we're going to look at the chapter, the first chapter of Galatians. My plan, unless the Lord redirects, my plan is to go through this book the next few weeks. And I haven't divided it all up exactly yet. And so some of that might change. We may do one chapter each Sunday, but then again, we may not. And so today we are going to take on the chapter one, but I want to give you just a little bit of background. You'll see it as we go through it. This was likely Paul's first letter that he wrote in AD 49. It was written to several churches in the region of Galatia. So there were several different cities in this region, and Paul is likely writing to all of them, and possibly sent a couple different of those manuscripts to them, those letters to them. This letter was written in response to Paul getting the news that some false teachers had come into that area and were beginning to disrupt things and begin to steer them the wrong direction. Okay, so that is the reason that Paul wrote this letter. And we will see that the false teachers, they were teaching about circumcision. They were teaching that they were Jewish followers of Christ, and they were trying to make these Gentiles into them. And that they had to then begin to follow all the Jewish laws and customs. And that's why Paul writes this letter. So, this letter is written to defend the truth and the way to be saved and God's plan in that, okay? So, first, verse 1, this letter is from Paul, an apostle, he writes. I was not appointed by any group of people or any human authority, but by Jesus Christ himself and by God the Father who raised Jesus from the dead. I want to be careful here because I think that there is wonderful when we can allow ourselves to fall under other leadership and authority. I think that's a good thing and oftentimes a God thing. But in reality, you don't need man to call you. You need God to call you. Because man won't be there to sustain you. And man can't produce anything of eternal value. Only the Spirit of God can. So if God has called you, if God has appointed you, if God has directed you to do something, then I challenge you and encourage you to do it. And there may be other steps, and I'm thankful for the Assemblies of God by which I have had the opportunity to minister for a number of years. And it is a blessing. So I put myself under their authority. I had meetings with them. I took tests, and they said, we see that there is a call on your life. Gave a stamp of approval, in essence. Okay, and so we need to make sure, Paul is saying, and it's likely that these individuals, these false teachers that came in are saying, you don't need to listen to Paul. Paul doesn't know what he's talking about. He doesn't even have approval from the church in Jerusalem. It's hard to know exactly what they were saying, but Paul's saying, hey, I was appointed by God, and that's all that I need. Because have you ever met somebody with real spiritual authority? They didn't have a title or position, but when they spoke, you listened? That's pretty cool. They have weight to their words. That's because they're appointed by God. Let's walk in that appointing. Let's walk in that anointing. So he said, but I've been appointed by Jesus Christ himself and by God the Father. See, if you remember back in Acts chapter 9, he has an encounter with Jesus Christ. Paul is going on his way to Damascus to persecute the church. And Jesus comes down. Paul falls to the ground and he says, Paul, why are you persecuting me? He's like, time out. I didn't realize I was persecuting you. You are the Lord. It was revelation, encounter, calling all at the same time. It was a really cool event in Paul's life. Changed him forever. So Paul says, hey, I've been appointed by Jesus Christ. Verse 2, he goes on to say, all the brothers and sisters here, join me in sending this letter to the churches of Galatia. Maybe he's saying, hey, I'm not the only one. I've got some others that are backing me in what I'm trying to say in this letter. I've shown it to them, and we've talked, and we all agree that some of this stuff that's going on in your churches isn't okay. Verse 3, as he normally does, Paul says, may God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. Isn't that awesome? Don't you want to live with grace and peace? Yeah. Amen. Me too. It's awesome. We're going to look at verse 4. Jesus gave his life for our sins. Hallelujah. Just as God our Father planned, in order to rescue us from this evil world in which we live. I love that. Jesus is our hero, isn't he? He rescued us. Heroes always rescue people. That's why they're heroes. Jesus is the ultimate hero. And I told you before, I saw a t-shirt and it had a bunch of superheroes sitting on a log or something, and they were sitting around Jesus listening to what he said. And the caption was, and that's how I save the world. And they're all just enthralled, like, wow! Jesus is way better than Superman or Batman or Spider-Man. Jesus is our hero. He's my hero. And he rescues us. He came to this world to rescue us. Rescue us from this evil world. Rescue us from ourselves. Rescue us from sin. And give us a hope of heaven and a home in heaven. Amen? Yes. He gave his life for our sins. You don't have to live in your sins any longer. Jesus wants to cleanse you. He wants to cleanse your heart. He'll wash it up. But too often we get that backwards and we think, okay, well, when I get things figured out, then I'll start coming to church and doing right. We don't have the power in and of ourselves to do it. We have to come to him, and he cleanses and he forgives and he transforms, makes us brand new on the inside, and then we start doing what he calls us to do because we're then born of his Spirit. Amen? Verse 5, all glory to God forever and ever. Amen. Don't you want to bring God some glory with your life? Me too. It's awesome. Lord, help us to bring you more glory and more and more. Verse 6, Paul jumps right in here. I am shocked that you are turning away so soon from God. He doesn't waste a whole lot of time. He just gets into it pretty quickly. I'm shocked, guys, that you have turned away from Christ so soon. Who called you to himself, I love this, who called you to himself through the loving mercy of Christ. Why is it that you've turned away from God so quickly? The God that called you to himself. How is it? How is that? But I love it, this verse. God has called you into relationship with himself. He loves you. Well, but Pastor, you don't know what I've done. I don't have to know what you've done. God does, and that's why he sent Jesus Christ. God loves you. God called you to himself. Man, doesn't that just kind of ring of a closeness with God, an intimate relationship with him, a following of him? And then he mentions here at the second part of verse 6, you're following a different way. And that's kind of what I've titled this message because of this verse. He's saying you're starting to follow a different way. That's not okay. Look what he says. You are following a different way that pretends to be the good news. Yikes. Paul sees through it. Paul sees through it, and he realizes that, and he tries to communicate that just as clear as he can in this letter. Hey, guys, you're following. I'm shocked that you're turning away from Christ. You're beginning to follow a different way, a different gospel. You and I have to be careful of the same things, that we don't follow a different gospel or add to the gospel. The gospel is very simplistic. It's very simple. God made man. Man messed up. God sent Jesus to rescue us. And if we place our faith and hope in Jesus, not in our good works, not in anything that we can do, but faith in Jesus Christ and in his work on the cross alone, we place our faith and trust in him, we have a home in heaven. That's how simple it is. We really like to complicate things. And so that was part of the problem. These false teachers were coming in and trying, they were saying, hey, there's more to it than Paul's been telling you. You've got to follow all the law and become a Jew. And it wasn't accurate. You're following a different way that pretends to be the good news. Verse 7, you're following a different way that pretends to be the good news, but is not the good news at all. So what Paul was saying here is, they're teaching you this way, you're following a different way, and if you add to the gospel, then it's not the gospel anymore. It's not the good news anymore because you've added too much to it. We have to be careful, church, that we don't add things to Jesus. Jesus is enough in and of himself. He's God in the flesh. And we don't need anything else. You can't add other religions or portions of other religions. Don't get mad at me. They say the same kinds of things. Oh, you're just closed-minded. Okay. Go look at all the other religions of the world. They say that their way is the only way. So don't get mad at me. But it's not the good news at all. You are being fooled by those who, listen to this, who deliberately twist the truth concerning Christ. Paul's saying, I'm calling these guys out because they're deliberately twisting the truth. They're twisting it and they're adding to it, and they're pulling you away from Jesus. Paul had a real problem with that. That's why he uses these strong words, and it gets stronger. Be careful, he's saying. He said he was shocked. I'm shocked that you've pulled away so quickly, that you've left Jesus. Verse 8, and here is one example of him using very strong words. Let God's curse fall on anyone, including us or even an angel from heaven, who preaches a different kind of good news or different way than the one we preach to you. Verse 9, I say again what we have said before. If anyone preaches any other good news than the one you welcome, let that person be cursed. Paul was not cursing people. Paul was simply making the statement, if somebody is preaching a false gospel, there is a curse on them already. They are coming under God's judgment, and they will be doomed. To have a form of godliness but lead people straight to the slaughter, Paul wasn't having it. Paul had to stand up to it. And we also have to be careful today that we don't allow anything else to come in. Legalism. Well, we can go to heaven if we wear the right clothes, or if we don't do this, or if we do that. No, Paul says only the way to get to heaven is through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Am I suggesting for a second, what's Paul suggesting for a second, that we shouldn't do right? Not at all. Not at all. But the way to heaven is through Jesus Christ. Again, his strong words saying, let them be cursed. Again, it wasn't him cursing anybody. And that's one way that you know whether somebody's of God or not. If they curse people, they're not of God. Okay? I've had people tell me that. Yeah, I pray that you will go to hell. I said, what? Okay, I don't pray that way about anybody, even my enemies. Verse 10, Paul says, obviously, I'm not trying to win the approval of the people, but of God. If pleasing people were my goal, I would not be Christ's servant. Why do we do what we do? I think that's really what Paul's saying here. Why do we do what we do? Did Paul want to go from church to church and encourage these churches so that he looked good and looked spiritual? Sounds more like he cared about their eternal condition, their eternal destination. And you know, back to what I said earlier about Connie's funeral yesterday in celebration of life service, three individuals that I know of said, I've not been living right. I'm giving Jesus back my heart. It's awesome. It's awesome. Or are we trying to please people? You know, it's hard to please everybody. You do know that, right? I love you, I'm doing my best, but it's hard to please everybody. There's just different likes and dislikes, and but let us be committed to pleasing Jesus. What do you say? Let's please Jesus with our everyday life. Verse 11. Here Paul begins to give somewhat of an autobiography about himself for the purpose of defending himself because of what these false teachers have likely already communicated about Paul. Okay, so he kind of goes on and telling a little bit about himself and what God has done in him and through him because they likely attacked his character. So here in verse 11, he begins this. He says, dear brothers and sisters, I want you to understand that the gospel message I preach is not based on mere human reasoning. Aren't you glad? Christianity is not something that somebody dreamed up. The Bible says that this was God's plan before the foundations of the world. That basically Jesus was slain before the foundation of the world. That Jesus Christ had basically said, before man had sinned, before Adam and Eve goofed up in the garden, Jesus had already said, I'll do it, Dad. I'll do it, Father. I'll go. I'll fix it. Whenever you tell me, I'll go and fix it. God knew. God knew that. And he gave us the free will. And he knew that we'd goof it up. But he had a plan in place. And his son was going to go and fix that. And he did. And now we can have eternal life. Praise God. It's not based, the gospel is not based on mere human reasoning. Verse 12, I received my message from no human source and no one taught me. Instead, I received it by direct revelation from Jesus Christ. Awesome. Does that mean we shouldn't sit under others and learn from them? No, otherwise then we can get a prideful heart. But you better believe it's good to get something from Jesus. But also don't forget about others who might be able to teach you. And you know what? Sometimes we can learn from somebody who seems to know nothing. So let's not be prideful in our hearts. I receive my message from no human source. And again, that goes back to that, or at least initially at that time on the road to Damascus, where Jesus, we don't know what all Christ showed to him and said to him at that time, but he said, you're persecuting me. Paul takes a step back. Oh, dear, what have I done? I realize that you are the Christ. Instead, I received it from Jesus, he said. That's awesome. What are we receiving from Jesus? Or do we always expect somebody else to feed us? We've got to go to the master. We've got to go to the source, ladies and gentlemen. And that's the really, really cool thing because, you know what? We don't have the priests that could only, they were the only ones that could go into the holy place. And now that veil's been torn, each and every one of us can come to the Father because of the blood of Jesus. And it's awesome. So what are you receiving from Jesus? What are you receiving from his Spirit? What's he teaching you? Is he revealing anything to you? I just say that to challenge you. Press in a little bit more. Let's press in a little bit more. Verse 15. But even before I was born, God chose me. Okay, do you see how he's setting it up? Like, guys, I'm not just somebody that doesn't know anything. I am somebody appointed by God. I'm an apostle, he said in the first verse. I received this message from Jesus himself. What I'm telling you is truth, not a lie. These guys are trying to discount what I'm saying, but I'm telling you the truth. Do you see where he's going with this? But even before I was born, God chose me and called me by his marvelous grace. Same is true about you. Before you were born, God chose you and called you. Some of you are having a hard time believing that. Just think about it some more. I pray that the Lord will just bring that home to you and just take that to your heart of hearts. Before you were born, God chose you and called you for his glory. That's awesome. Then it pleased him, and then to verse 16, then it pleased him to reveal his son to me so that I would proclaim the good news about Jesus to the Gentiles. Again, he's saying, hey, churches in Galatia, I'm not just somebody who's blowing by. I'm appointed by God, called by God. Jesus revealed himself to me, and he gave me this message that I'm sharing with you. He has asked me to be a preacher to you Gentiles. That's what he's called me to do. That's what he sent me for and anointed me to do it. So my words to you are not false. They're the false ones, the ones that are saying these things about me. Skip down to verse 23. And he talks a little bit more about himself and how he used to persecute the church. And how he was there and he was part of that. He was admitted it and it was violent. In verse 23, he says, And all they knew was that people were saying, the one who used to persecute us is now preaching the very faith he tried to destroy. And in verse 24, and they praised God because of me. So again, he's kind of sharing part of his life because he's trying to reestablish that he has credibility, that they can believe what he says. But let's just go back. Some were trying to distract them to follow a different way. And in reality, Jesus was the one that called them into relationship with him. And Paul, it was rising up within Paul, this justified anger saying, this is not right. I'm not going to stand by and let it happen. The gospel is pure. And it's being twisted and distorted. So let's make sure that we keep the gospel pure in our lives, in our church, through this family of believers. We want to honor Christ in all that we do, not adding to the gospel at all or taking away from it. Right? So we get to see a little bit of Paul's life here, and it's pretty interesting. Matter of fact, that in chapter 2 he goes into some more about that, and we'll look at that. We'll look at that next Sunday. But let's just evaluate. Let's evaluate our lives in ministry. Matter of fact, let's bow our hearts. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Word of God, your Word. And Lord, this letter, as we're examining it, I ask that you would evaluate us. Lord, may we not add to the gospel. May we not take away from it. But may we keep the gospel pure so that it will do life-changing work. You're the one that does the work. Holy Spirit, you do wonderful things. You do beautiful things, God. And we just thank you for the simplicity of the gospel. We thank you, God, that there is truth in your word. I'm going to give an opportunity this morning. If you have not been living for the Lord, if you have not been living your life for Jesus and the Holy Spirit has been convicting you, I'm just going to just ask you to slip up your hand and say, I'm ready to surrender my life to Christ today. I'm ready to ask Jesus to live in me. I'm ready to repent and turn to God or turn back to God. If that's you, just slip up your hand so that I can see you. The Lord knows right where you are. Lord, thank you. Thank you for your word. Lord, may we just continue to seek you. And Father, I pray that as we seek you, we will find you. And Lord, that our hearts, our lives would be satisfied in you alone. And Lord, help us, as Paul wrote in this chapter, to bring glory to you. All glory. Let us bring you glory, God, not ourselves. Let us live to please you. and to honor you in everything and in every way. Lord Jesus, we give you praise and we say thank you today for the precious gospel. Lord, you're wonderful, you're beautiful, and I ask you, Heavenly Father, to go with your people, to encourage them. Lord, I plead your blood over them, and I ask, God, that you would empower them with your Holy Spirit to reach others and to bring you glory. In Jesus' precious and powerful name, I pray. Amen. It's truly wonderful to see you today.